magical means, because it caused a lot of trouble for the population at large, and in any case it was often difficult to tell which of the resultant patches of smoking fat had been the winner. So they traditionally resort to knives, subtle poisons, scorpions in shoes, and hilarious booby traps involving razor-sharp pendulums. On Small God's Eve, however, it was considered extremely bad form to kill a brother wizard, and wizards felt able to let their hair down without fear of being strangled with it. The Arch-Chancellor's chair was empty. Wheezy Goose was dining alone in his study, as befits a man chosen by the gods after their serious discussion with sensible senior wizards earlier in the day. Despite his 80 years, he was feeling a little bit nervous and hardly touched his second chicken. In a few minutes, he would have to make a speech. Wheezy Goose had in his younger days sought power in strange places. He'd wrestled with demons in blazing octagrams, stared into dimensions that men were not meant to wot of, and even outfaced the unseen University Grants Committee. But nothing in the 8 circles of nothingness was quite so bad as a couple of 100 expectant faces staring up at him through the cigar smoke. The heralds would soon be coming by to collect him. He sighed and pushed his pudding away untasted, crossed the room, stood in front of the big mirror, and fumbled in the pocket of the robe for his notes. After a while, he managed to get them in some sort of order and cleared his throat.
"My brothers in art," he began, "I cannot tell you how much I find traditions of this ancient university. As I look around me and see the pictures of arch-chancellors gone before."
He paused, sorted through his notes again, and plunged on rather more certainly.
"Standing here tonight, I am reminded of the story about the 3-legged peddler and the merchant's daughters. It seems that this merchant..."
There was a knock at the door.
"Enter,"
Wheezy Goose barked and peered at the notes carefully.
"This merchant," he muttered, "this merchant, this merchant had 3 daughters, I think it was. Yes, it was 3. It would appear..."
He looked into the mirror and turned round. He started to say,
"Who are you?"
And found that there are things worse than making speeches, after all. The small dark figure creeping along the deserted corridors heard the noise and didn't take too much notice. Unpleasant noises were not uncommon in areas where magic was commonly practiced. The figure was looking for something. It wasn't sure what it was, only that it would know it when it found it. After some minutes, its search led it to Wheezy Goose's room. The air was full of greasy coils. Little particles of soot drifted gently on the air currents, and there were several foot-shaped burn marks on the floor. The figure shrugged. There was no accounting for the sort of things you found in wizards' rooms. It caught sight of its multifaceted reflection in the shattered mirror, adjusted the set of its hood, and got on with the search. Moving like one listening to inner direction, it padded noiselessly across the room until it reached the table whereon stood a tall, round, and battered leather box. It crept closer and gently raised the lid. The voice from inside sounded as though it was talking through several layers of carpet when it said,
"At last! What kept you?"
"I mean, how did they all get started? I mean, back in the old times, there were real wizards. There was none of this levels business. They just went out and did it. Pow!"
One or two of the other customers in the darkened bar of the Mended Drum Tavern looked around hastily at the noise. They were new in town. Regular customers never took any notice of surprising noises like groans or unpleasantly gristly sounds. It was a lot healthier. In some parts of the city, curiosity didn't just kill the cat. It threw it in a river with lead weights tied to its feet. Rincewind's hands weaved unsteadily over the array of empty glasses on the table in front of him. He had almost been able to forget about the cockroaches. After another drink, he might manage to forget about the mattress, too.
"Whee! A fireball! Fizz! Vanishing like smoke! Whee! Sorry."
The librarian carefully pulled what remained of his beer out of the reach of Rincewind's flailing arms.
"Proper magic!"
Rincewind stifled a belch.
"Ook!"
Rincewind stared into the frothy remnants of his last beer, and then, with extreme care in case the top of his head fell off, leaned down and poured some into a saucer for the luggage. It was lurking under the table, which was a relief. It usually embarrassed him in bar.